Welcome to the Atomic Podcast. Whether you're a nurse anesthesia resident in CRNA school or an RN trying to get there, you're in the right place.
I'm Sachi, and along with Rhea, we're going to talk all things anesthesia and science, and we're going to bring along some of our friends too.
Join us each week as we dive into all things science and anesthesia. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Atomic Anesthesia Podcast, which is a podcast dedicated to helping you navigate the CRNA school journey. I'm your host, Professor Rhea Timmerman, and today we're going to cover a really crucial topic for all you senior nurse anesthesia residents, which is preparing for the C and the NCE exams. So for those that are listening that are unfamiliar with this, the NCE exam is the CRNA board exam that you need to pass after you graduate to become a board certified CRNA. And the C exam is very similar to the NCE exam. It is a benchmark exam that you take several times during the CRNA program. I know. The thought of these exams can be super daunting. Your burnout from clinicals, your DNP projects, and just in general, the intensity of being in CRNA school. But trust me, you have come this far, and with the right strategy, you can absolutely conquer these exams and finally achieve your dream of becoming a CRNA. So today, we're going to walk through a detailed study plan that we have designed to help you succeed on this exam. And this plan is based on this comprehensive guide that we developed at Atomic Anesthesia, which is a fantastic resource for anybody that is going through this process. We break down all the elements, we offer some tips, and we give you a full 24-week study plan. So before we even get started, make sure you go to our website, www.atomicanesthesia.com, and download that free study plan, or you can go to the show notes and download that plan as well. Now, while I have taught senior board review for several years, I do want to note that any of the information that is in this podcast or on that study plan that we created is not quote unquote insider information. All of this can be found on the NBCRNA website, so we definitely encourage you to check out that website, nbcrna.com, and that'll give you the most up-to-date and accurate information. They have entire C and NCE handbooks that do describe every single detail about the exam, so make sure you download those and check those out. All right, so let's get started. Before we even get into the content of the C and the NCE exam, the first thing that I always like to do with my residents when I was teaching senior board review is first getting into the right mindset. So at Atomic Anesthesia, we really think that self-reflection is key before you even get started. So just even taking a moment to acknowledge how far you've come, think about all the skills that you've developed, all the challenges that you overcome, and this incredible career that is awaiting for you. And oftentimes what I tend to ask my residents are these questions. What are you the most grateful for in your CRNA journey so far? When do you study best? How do you reset when you're feeling overwhelmed? What are your biggest strengths and your biggest weaknesses in anesthesia? And I have a really funny story about this. So I would always have our residents write down their three biggest strengths and the three biggest weaknesses. And I would compile them all and tally them up and put them on a list and show them up on the board the very first day. And it's really funny that for strengths, people consistently put cardiac, pharmacology, and regional. And for the biggest weaknesses, they put cardiac, pharmacology, and regional. And the point I'm trying to make here is that everybody has strengths in things that other people are weak in, and everybody's weak in things that other people have strengths in. So when you're going through this process, don't do this in isolation. Make sure you stick together as a big cohesive group, help one another out. You definitely learn a lot by teaching one another. So sometimes I had them create these one slide PowerPoint presentations where they took one topic, say chemotherapeutic drugs, and had to come up with really silly mnemonics or pictures or memes or little jingles or songs. And it's the fact that your colleague is standing up at the front of the class and giving you a funny jingle. People say that later on that question comes up on their exam and they remember something that somebody else said. So just keep that in mind as you're going through this process. So next, we talked about what study techniques work best for you, what motivates you to study, how can you maximize your confidence going into the exam, and most importantly, what are you looking forward to after graduation? I think answering a lot of these questions to yourself and just taking this moment to self-reflect really helps you when you approach your studies, because it just helps give you intention and gives you a positive attitude going into this. So take the time to do that before you even get started. All right, so let's get down to the specifics of the exam. And before we go any further, I cannot stress how important it is for you to pass on your first time from a financial standpoint. So the fee for the NCE exam continues to increase and now sits at $1,125 per each time you take it. So if you don't pass the first time, you have to pay that again, another $1,125. And I don't know about you, but when I was finishing CRNA school, I was broke, like really broke. And so just from a financial standpoint, like prepare to pass on the first time. Don't have it in your head that it's okay if I, of course it's okay if you don't pass on the first time, but you know, don't take this lightly, take this seriously, right? Because we're all broke, all right? So next, the C exam. The C exam is $285 each time. So if you keep having to retake it, it's another $285 each time. Some residents that I've taught that took a long time to meet that benchmark sometimes had to take it as much as 3 or 4 times. And when you're in school, like no one has that kind of money. You don't have $1,000 to just spend on taking this 4 times. So take it seriously and study hard for, if anything else, your wallet's sake. So details about the C and the NCE exam. It is important to understand the differences between these two exams. The C exam may or may not be required by your program. It's typically taken midway through your program or maybe taken your junior and then your senior year, and really provides information on how you're progressing through graduate school and can even be a benchmark to predict how well you're going to do on the NCE exam. Some of the programs do require a passing score to advance, while other programs simply use it as just a tool to assess how you're doing and if you need more support before your NCE exam. The question styles on the C are the same as the NCE, but the percentages of each domain are equally weighted at 25%, unlike the NCE. And we're going to go over what domains are in just a minute, but keep that in mind. In the C exam, they're equally weighted between 4 domains, whereas the NCE exam, they are not. Some domains are weighted more than other domains. Keep in mind that passing or meeting the benchmark for the C exam does not guarantee you're going to pass the NCE exam, but a score of 420 to 430 on the C exam is typically highly correlated with a passing score for the NCE. So typically most programs use that as a benchmark. Now, the NCE is the big one. It evaluates all the knowledge and skills and proficiencies that you need to practice as an entry-level CRNA. It is a computer adaptive test, meaning that the difficulty adjusts based on your performance. And the number of questions that you can get can range from 100 to 170 questions, depending on how well you're doing. So if you're doing great and they've determined at 100 questions that you pass, it'll just cut off from there. Or the opposite can happen. If you're doing so badly, they're like, there's no way that you can recover from this, they'll cut you off at 100 questions. But I think you'll probably know by that point if you're in that bucket. So if it goes beyond 100 questions, it could stop at any point, or you could go the distance. You can go the 170 questions. And total, you have 3 hours to complete the exam. So whether you get 100 questions or 170 questions, you only have 3 hours and that's it. Remember that 70% of the questions count towards your score, whereas 30% of the questions are quote unquote practice questions and they don't affect your score. And trust me, do not waste any time trying to guess which questions are real and which questions are practice questions. Answer them all as if they all count. You're just going to waste time by trying to, you know, think about, is this a practice one? Is this a real one? Just answer them all as if they're real. Now, I always tell people when you're studying or when you're doing practice exams or practice questions as you're getting towards the end, always prepare to go the distance. Always prepare to do the full 170 questions. There are a small bucket of people that are going to do the 170 questions no matter what. Okay, I'm sorry if you're that person. If you chosen to do the 170 questions, no matter how well you're doing. They like to collect a lot of statistical data and have a couple people do that. So if you have 3 hours and you go the distance, you go 170 questions, that means that you only have 1 minute to answer each question, right? About 180 questions divided by three. So it's about 1 minute per question. So as you're getting your stamina up doing questions, you want to get to the point where you can break down a question and choose an answer in less than 60 seconds. I know that sounds daunting. You can get there with lots and lots of practice in the beginning. It might take you a couple minutes to break down some questions. And then as you get faster, you should be doing 60 seconds per question. It is worth noting that you have a limited number of attempts to pass the NCE. So typically candidates can attempt the NCE exam up to 4 times within the year after you finish your educational program. If you don't pass on your 4th attempt, you have to wait a complete year before you can attempt the exam again. At that point, you have 4 more attempts available. And if you're unsuccessful after that 8th attempt, you are no longer eligible. And the only way that you could become a CRNA at that point is if you redo the program all over again. And the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim to none. So take it seriously, pass on that first time, and you have nothing to worry about. So like I said, make sure you check out the NBCRNA website. It's going to have the official handbook, the exam and an exam tutorial, and frequently asked questions. And these are all linked in the show notes. Let's go into this content outline that I was talking about earlier and these content domains. So the CNCE outline is available online. All you have to do is type in your Google NBCRNA C/NCE outline. And this is your entire exam content outline. Now, all the content is divided into 4 major sections or 4 major domains. And these domains are 1, basic sciences, 2, equipment, instrumentation, and technology, 3, general principles of anesthesia, and 4, anesthesia for surgical procedures and special populations. Remember when I said the C exam, it's broken down. The types of questions that you get are from each of these domains, and you're going to get 25% of questions from each domain. The NCE is different. So they put the greatest emphasis on that 3rd domain, which is general principles of anesthesia, and less emphasis on the other sections. So you're going to have 20% of your questions are going to be from basic sciences. 20% of your questions are going to be from equipment, instrumentation, and technology. 35% of your questions are going to be from general principles of anesthesia, and 25% of your questions are going to come from anesthesia for surgical procedures and special populations. When you look at the roadmap that we have detailed for you in that study plan, and by the way, if you haven't downloaded it yet, pause, go download it, and then come back, because I'm going to be going through that study plan as we go through this episode. We think it's best to start early, and that's why we've mapped out a 24-week study plan. That's 6 months. So if you're planning on taking it in the summertime, like the end of August, now's a good time. If you're planning on taking it in May, you should have already started studying in the fall. If you haven't yet, you got to get started like months ago, but it's okay. You got to get started today. The first 13 weeks, we dedicate completely to content review. Now, why do I recommend content review? Time and time again, people who I teach that have a difficult time passing the C or the NCE exam tell me the same thing. They just didn't know the content. And here are the scenarios that you have. A, you've learned the content once at the beginning of your program, but since have forgotten those little details and it's been 3 years. Okay. B, you were taught the content, but very poorly. So you never really learned the concepts really well. Maybe you didn't have the best faculty member to teach that specific content, and you didn't really understand it at the time. You took the exam and you kind of forgot about it. Okay. C, you were never taught the content. Yes, this happens. There will be things that you need to learn for this exam that you were never exposed to. There's just no way to be exposed to every single little detail that you're going to know for this exam, and you will have learned it or come across it on your own. And sometimes when you're studying for the exam, that's the first time that you're seeing some of this material. It happens. It has happened to me. It has happened to everybody that I've talked to. You will learn new things during your study period. And D, the knowledge that you need for a board exam is way different from the knowledge that you need for safe clinical practice. I know you know what I'm talking about, right? Textbook versus real life, right? The material that they use to create the board exams have to come from your textbooks. especially the ones that are on the NCE bibliography. This is another thing that you go and Google and download. So you can type in NBACRNA CNCE bibliography. Gives you the list of textbooks that they're allowed to use to make the board exam. They can only use the textbooks that are on the list. And I will tell you that the most common textbook that they use to write your board exam questions is from Nagelhout. So read that book start to finish. I mean, I did. But a lot of those questions come from there. A lot of information that's in a textbook is outdated and or not peer-reviewed. But in clinical practice, we know that we take our knowledge from the most recent and relevant research that's published through journals. All that is peer-reviewed. It comes out immediately. Plus, we combine that with the mentorship from very experienced practitioners. So just keep that in mind. Studying for the boards is different than studying for safe clinical practice. So let's go over the study plan. The study plan that we created for you provides a week-to-week breakdown of all of the topics that are going to be on the NCE outline. I made sure to include every single bullet point that's on that outline and spread it out over 13 weeks. So the first couple weeks are going to be your most heavy-hit topics, okay, pharmacology and cardiac. The reason why we want you to cover these heavy hitter topics in the beginning is because they kind of get weaved into so many other different types of topics. So if you don't understand your pharmacology, if you don't understand some of your major organ systems like cardiac and respiratory, it makes it really difficult to answer some of the other questions that you get down the road. So we're going to hit up the cardiac and we're going to hit up the pharmacology in the very beginning. So week one, lots of pharmacology, pharmacodynamics, pharmacokinetics, inhaled anesthetics, IV anesthetics, neuromuscular blockers, all of those drugs. Week two, we're going to go through a full week of cardiovascular, everything, anatomy, physiology, patho. And then week three, you're going to do cardiovascular and pharmacology again. So you're going to go through cardiac anesthesia, types of cardiac procedures, and all of the rest of the pharmacology drugs that they're going to cover, like your GI drugs, your insulin, some of your herbals, your tocolytics, some of those really rare drugs that we don't talk about very often, but you could get them on the exam. Week four, when you look at it, it's an entire sheet. It's pretty intense. We're going to just do a basic coverage again of science, equipment, and technology. These are things like your anesthesia machine, anesthesia equipment. A lot of these things we know pretty well, just kind of skimming and making sure we understand the details of each thing. Again, make sure you get that information from the textbook itself, not anything else. Monitoring devices like your prosthesis EEG, warming equipment, and some basic science things like chemistry, physics, and mathematics. Some of this stuff is not as highly emphasized as the general anesthesia principles, so make sure you at least review it one time so you have at least said that you've gone over some of the equipment. Week five, now we're going to go into respiratory and thoracic procedures. So you're going to go through your respiratory anatomy and physiology, patho, a lot of your airway management techniques, your thoracic procedures. Week six, we're going to go through regional and pain pathways and neuroskeletal type of material, local anesthetics, nerve anatomy, ultrasound, LAST, and other miscellaneous medications that are related to pain, like opioids, non-opioid analgesics, pain theory and management, neuroskeletal procedures. It's really important during this 13 weeks that you take breaks. So week seven, I have a break. You have to take the whole week off from studying. You do a few practice questions each day. I mean, you can't study for 6 months straight, right? You need to have those weeks weaved into your schedule where you're taking an entire week off. So we're studying hard for 6 weeks. We're going to take a whole week off. Week eight, now we're going to ANS, autonomic nervous system, musculoskeletal. Week nine, CNS, everything neuro, neuroanatomy, physiology, path, or procedures. Week 10, abdominal, everything abdominal related, liver, kidneys, GI, anatomy, and procedures. Week 11, we're going to start getting into some general principles of anesthesia and getting into some special populations. Things that are general principles like fluid volume assessment and management, positioning, interpreting labs, MAC sedation, ERAS, infection, and then getting to a couple special populations like peds and OB. Week 12, we're going to go into general principles and special populations. As make sure you don't skip over some of the ones that are super boring, like the legal and ethical stuff. Okay, review it at least once, because chances are, if you're like, okay, what are the chances that I'm going to get this kind of exam question? You're going to get like 10 of those questions, right? I mean, I had a resident that told me like he didn't look over legal stuff at all, and he like literally got like 6 questions related to like legal things. I mean, things like informed consent, tort, standards of practice, scope of practice, billing, that kind of stuff. Then special populations, you're going to go over some geriatric, obesity, substance use disorder, oncology patients, just to wrap that up. Week 13, a couple miscellaneous things. Hematology, immune, non-OR anesthesia, and some other more rare surgical procedures like trauma, burns, organ transplant, organ procurement, that kind of thing. So that's 13 weeks. It's really 12 weeks of content, and then you have a week break. After going through all of this content, you're going to take another whole week off. Just do a couple practice questions each day. You're going to take a break. Now, during the second half, so that's 3 months worth of studying, and that's a lot of content, right? Like, I'm reading all this stuff, rattling all this stuff off. That was the entire NCE outline. You're probably thinking to yourself, holy crap, that's a lot of material. Yeah, it is. And like I said, you're going to be going through this material, and you're going to be learning some of it for the first time, which stinks, but it's the reality. The second half of the study plan, now you're going to start incorporating practice questions to a higher level. You're going to be doing practice questions the entire time, but you're going to be ramping it up. I do recommend that before you start really diving into all the practice questions is that you do a full practice exam just to see where you're at, just to see which domains you're doing well in, not doing well in, and then you have to start identifying which areas you're weak in. I remember when I was taking Valley, and it's a in-person board review, you know, conference that we took for 3 days straight. And the guy stood up there and said something like, actually, they're changing the board exam. So what you can do is send into the NBCRNA the 3 areas that you want them to remove from your exam, and they're going to remove those questions. And we're all getting all excited. Like, I was like, I'm not usually a gullible person, but I was like, sweet. And he's like, okay, what are those 3 items? We're writing down our 3 items. He's like, you likely wrote down the 3 areas that you are the weakest in, so you need to study those things first. And we're like, oh, crap. He totally got us, because it's true, right? We want to study the things that we're strong in, and we want to avoid the things that we're weak in. Don't do that. I'm calling you out. Yeah, you. Do not avoid the things that you are weak in. Use the opportunity to study these practice exam questions that you've done poorly in, some of those areas, and make sure you focus on those areas. So as we're going through the next couple weeks, the next 4 weeks, each week, I want you to identify 3 areas that you are weak in, and I want you to review those things again. So if you're like, I'm doing really great on pharmacology, I think I got most of it, maybe I need to brush up one more time on maybe the herbals and some of those more rare drugs that we don't use as often, but otherwise I'm good. But man, OB just crushes me, right? So you need to focus on that a little bit more. Each day, you want to start ramping it up. You want to start doing 50 practice questions each day. Not only doing the questions, but reviewing the rationale. That's super important to understand why you got it right or why you got it wrong, and understanding why the other answers on the exam are not correct. We call those distractors. So just making sure you know why, especially if you guessed, right, and you got the right answer. You want to know why that's the right answer and why the other ones are wrong answers. This takes some time. You know, doing the questions and then reviewing on the rationale, it takes several hours. What I tell people is break it up during the day. So in the morning, do a couple questions. If you have some downtime during clinical, do some questions. Actually, there is an app coming out called Olivate. Olivate is made by Josh Olson. He's a faculty member in Detroit. I forget exactly what the program is called, but it's like Mercy, Detroit Mercy Nurse Anesthesia Program. Anyway, so he's coming out with an app called Olivate, and it's an app where you can just do practice questions on your phone, which is pretty cool. So I think that's coming out in March. Definitely download that and take advantage of that. I think they have a freemium version and a premium version. Anyway, so the next 4 weeks are going to look just like that. You can do a practice exam. You're going to focus on 3 areas your week in each week, and then you can do 50 practice questions each day. When you get to week 19, so that's a month worth, you get to week 19, you're going to skim over the content from weeks 1 through 6 again. We call this spaced repetition. It's like an important part of studying, right? Because you can't just study something once and it's in your brain. You got to study it. You got to wait a little bit of time. You got to study it again. You don't have to do is add, You don't have to do it as in-depth as last time, but do a skim again. Like, focus on your weakest areas, skim your content from weeks 1 through 6. You're going to do 3 hours of questions once a week, and you're going to continue doing your 50 practice questions each day. Week 20, you're going to do the same thing. Week 21, you are going to review the content from weeks 7 through 13 again, focusing on your weakest areas. So once again, doing your 3 hours of questions once a week, that's going to simulate taking a full exam, right? And then you're going to up it to 100 practice questions each day. It's a lot because you're getting close to your exam time. Week 22, same thing. Focus on or review contents from week 7 through 13, 100 practice questions each day. Week 23, now you're just doing questions. You should have reviewed all of that content at least 3 times by now, right? Especially the week stuff. Week 23, you're going to do some mock exams. So you're going to do 3 hours of questions twice a week, all in one sitting without taking breaks. And you want to get down to 1 minute per question. You're really going to simulate the exam experience. Keep doing those 100 practice questions each day. Week 24, we're getting down to the wire now. You're doing the same thing. Mock exams twice a week, all in one sitting without breaks, 1 minute per question. We're trying to get that stamina up. We're trying to really simulate that exam experience. 100 practice questions each day. Week 25, this is test week, okay? Do a last-minute review of only content that you are absolutely weak on, that you just like, I cannot get this into my head. Write it down over and over again if you have to. 2 days before the exam, you're going to take it easy. You're not going to kill yourself. You're not going to exhaust yourself. You want to get your energy up. You want to rest. The day before, you want to take off completely. Go get a massage. Go relax. Okay. Now, part of the plan is I do break down what a typical study week looks like. So if you look at the outline that I give you, weeks 1 through 13, when you're just doing content, what your days typically look like is Monday through Thursday, you're going to do about 10 to 20 questions per day. Just starts getting you like into the swing of doing questions. So I think 10 a day is doable, right? Reviewing the rationale, get that done in the morning, get that done on the train, get that done on your lunch break, whatever. And you want to do, I would say, at least 2 hours of content review a day. 2 hours, dedicated time per day. So that means when you're getting off clinical, you want to be going somewhere quiet and doing that 2 hours of reviewing your content, organizing your content, getting it all together, and really doing a deep dive into a couple topics. You do want to work in 1 day off every week. So if you say, okay, Fridays, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to take off completely. I'm just going to go to clinical or whatever I have going on Friday, and that's it. I'm going to take off completely. Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons, but I like to study in the morning. You want to do 3 hours of content review, and then you want to up it a little bit to about 30 to 40 questions and rationale. Take off Saturday night. Sunday, same thing. 3 hours of content review in the morning, 30 to 40 questions and rationale. Take off the rest of the night. Okay, that's week 1 through 13. And I will say that because I started early on studying for this exam, when it led up to the time that I had to take the exam, I was not putting in 10 to 12 hour days or even 8 hour days. I think I was at most studying 4 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and I passed the first time. So if you start early, you don't have to kill yourself towards the end. Just it's about consistency and discipline and pacing yourself. Okay, keep that in mind. Weeks 15 through 20. So this is when we've reviewed the content thoroughly. Now we're getting into upping our questions. Monday through Thursday, 50 questions plus rationale. Okay, now we're upping it a little bit and still maintaining that 2 hours of content review. Now you have to weave in some of this stuff throughout your day. You're doing a couple questions here and there. When you're walking, do a couple questions. Maybe if you have the app, waiting, 10 minutes for something, do a couple questions. Same thing, take Friday off, take 1 day off a week. Saturday, doing 3 hours of questions in the morning. So it comes out to about 150 questions. Take off in the evening. Sunday, do 3 to 4 hours of content review and take off in the evening. When you're getting down to the last month, so this is weeks 21 through 24, most people, not all people, but a lot of people tend to not have as much clinical responsibilities. Like, for example, our program at Drexel University, they get off the last month. So they graduate in May, they're off April completely, the whole month. So I tell people then, you're going to do about 100 questions a day plus rationale and 2 hours of content review. So that should be about, you think about 100 questions plus rationale should take about 3 hours. and then 2 hours of content. You should be studying about, you know, four to five hours. So that's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, you're going to do a mock exam. So 3 hours of questions, 1 minute a piece, and without getting up, without taking a bathroom break, nothing. You have to go through this in 3 hours. Take a day off. Take Friday off. And then Saturday and Sunday, same thing. You're going to do your 100 questions plus rationale. And then Sunday, you're going to do your 3 to 4 hours of content review. So that is all broken down for you. Of course, you don't have to follow it exactly. But what I like about the study plan is that so many people have used it. And if you follow it, have found that it keeps you from getting super stressed out. You cover all the content you need to cover on the outline several times. And you build up your stamina to take those questions in a short period of time without any breaks. There are some study tips and definitely some healthy habits that I think are essential to keep you on track for this exam. I already mentioned studying early because the material is much more manageable when you can have the full 6 months rather than trying to cram this whole schedule into maybe a 3 month period. Make sure you schedule in those breaks. So plan for regular breaks during your week and make sure to incorporate in the 6 month period at least 2 full weeks off where you're not doing anything. Be consistent. Small daily efforts are definitely more effective than infrequent long sessions, okay? Maintain a healthy lifestyle. I say this all the time, but you do have to prioritize things like sleep and exercise and stress reduction to kind of get you through this big push that you have at the end. If you are an anxious test taker, you need to address that, right? If you've struggled with anxiety and this is a very stress-provoking event, right? You need to seek help. Right. Go seek help from a specialist or an exam strategy expert. There are people out there like that. Get help. OK, because you don't want the anxiety to hinder your performance on such a big exam. Right. Very, very importantly, do not schedule your exam during a major life event. You don't want to schedule exam around stressful events like moving. Right. I've had residents that decided they were going to move to their new job in a different location with their entire family and children and take the exam a couple days after that in the new location. Don't do that, okay? Move first and then wait a couple weeks and take the exam, or take the exam before you move. But, you know, you're going to be stressed out with packing and all that stuff. So if you have a major life event, think smart about it. The resident that I'm telling you about did not pass his first time. He had 4 children and moved to the other side of the country and took the exam a couple days later and did not do well. Very obviously why. The last tip I will say is move your exam date if necessary. So it is better to be fully prepared for the exam than to rush and risk failing. Now, if you're like 2 weeks from taking your exam and you feel like you're just way behind, that there's just so much more for you to catch up on, reschedule your exam. It's okay. It's better to push it back a few weeks than to not pass your first time. We've already said why, right? Your wallet will thank you. Okay. Just push it back. It's okay. Nobody will know. You don't have to tell anybody, but you don't want to go into there feeling panicked and rushed and feel like you need a couple more weeks. Just push it back. Just remember, you've put in all the hard work, right? Trust yourself. Stay calm. Approach this exam with confidence. You definitely got this. So that's all we have for today's episode. I hope that this detailed study plan from Atomic Anesthesia really gives you a clear roadmap on how to kind of tackle your plan for the CNCE exam. Remember to check out the show notes and all the links for Atomic Anesthesia and other valuable free resources. Remember that we have a free webinar that we host once a month. Make sure you join us. We talk a lot about these different topics. And if you want to break down a little bit more of the CNCE content, don't forget to hit me up, Rhea@atomicanesthesia.com, to shoot me an email. Definitely things that I've gone over with my residents in the past have been, you know, how to break down those difficult questions when, you know, there's a couple layers to it. You're not really quite sure what concept they're trying to get at. We can go over some of those strategies to break down those really difficult questions and being able to choose the right answer. So just let me know if that's something that you want to hear. Thanks for tuning into the Atomic Anesthesia Podcast. And I am wishing you guys all the best as you prepare for these exams and finally cross that finish line as a board certified CRNA. We'll see you guys on the next episode.